was going to teach on that on Wednesday night, and I misunderstood that. And so if you were here, then you know that he taught on when Jesus comes. When we sung that great invitation hymn, there's a great day coming. So he did a very, very good job on what he taught, but that was my mistake because I misunderstood what he was going to talk about and told you that he was also going to talk about that topic. But he did a very, very good job, and I just appreciate him because you can see the growth, you can see the enthusiasm when he's, and the thankfulness that he's been through what he's been through and now able to continue doing what he's able to do. So last week we did talk about, on page 11 and 12 of your book, if any man defile the temple. And we talked about the fact that the church can be defiled, and we know that from not only the passage which we studied, but other places like 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and Revelation chapters 2 and 3 and other places. But not only can the church be defiled, but individuals can be defiled. And as a result of what we do, that is wrong in the sight of God, then we stand in need of being corrected, and sometimes congregations need to be corrected. And sometimes individuals need to be corrected. So I hope that point was beneficial to all of us. We are on number 13. And if we can get to, we'll just go as far as we can. But someone read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, please. And we'll pick up, if any man seemeth to be wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse 18. Appreciate that, Rose. Good job. What is the context of Paul making that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18? Is there anything amiss with being wise? Anything wrong with being wise? I heard no. So, Rose really qualified that, and it does need to be qualified by saying as long as, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with wisdom. In fact, we're told to be wise. But there's a difference in the wisdom that God would have us to have and a wisdom that is brought on by arrogance and being prideful and the wisdom of the world. And a lot of times people want to be wise in things of the world to the neglect and the spiritual things. And can you think of a passage where we would be told to be wise? I'll give you one that comes to my mind, but it's really inferred to be wise. Is it that? I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, about preaching. But the one that came to my mind where I said it was inferred is Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we know that we ought not be unwise, therefore I'm to be what?
Wise.
I'm to be wise. Nothing wrong with being wise. In fact, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And I'll keep in context that chapter in James chapter 1, he's not talking about, and I hear brethren even praying prayers from time to time, that God give us wisdom. And they'll think about James chapter 1. God, how does God give wisdom? Through His Word. Don't think that we're going to ask God for wisdom and somehow supernaturally a miracle is going to take place and I'm going to be wise. That's not how it happens. In the context of James chapter 1 anyway, where that statement is found is what? Really, the whole context of what he's talking about, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like what? Wave of the sea. In James chapter 1, he's talking about temptation and the trying of our faith. Brethren, if any of you... Or let no man say when he's tempted and so forth. And he says, count it all joy that when you fall into diverse temptations. I want the wisdom to be able to not succumb to temptations that come upon me. And so keep that in mind when you think about wisdom. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with asking God for wisdom, but understand that it comes by his word that he's provided to us and provides all things that we need through his word. So nothing wrong with being wise.
Johnny, you have an example of the wise man who
buildeth
on the rock, and the
foolish
man who buildeth on the sand.
Good. That's right.
In Matthew 10:17, to be wise as serpents.
Be wise as serpents. It's Matthew 10:17?
16, I'm sorry.
16. So, and then from Matthew 7, as Seal pointed out just a moment ago, about the wise and the foolish builder, Matthew 17 or 7, verse 24 and following. Work your workbooks and make a note of those in the margin. You'll have those. So we just don't want the earthly wisdom. We're not concerned about chasing that. We're concerned about being wise in the sight of God. Nothing wrong with being wise. In fact, the Bible makes a clear distinction between one who is wise and one who is a fool. Remember when I mentioned to you last week or the week before that it'd make a good study what wise people do and what foolish people do? I've given you several examples in your workbook. 16 on the foolish and 12 on the wise. And there's a lot more, especially in the book of where? Say it again. Yeah, Proverbs, good job. Proverbs just chock full of the fool and the wise. So if you're looking for maybe some Bible class material there, you could build on that and just, you could spend a lesson on each one of those, and there's 16 points. That's over a quarter, or 12 points. Add one more to it, and you have a whole quarter on the wise. But the foolish, as Seal pointed out, Matthew 27, 26, and 27, build on the sand. The foolish, Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's what foolish people say. You think there's foolish people today saying that? Lucas? Absolutely. Luke 12:20, the foolish lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God. The context of Luke 12, I just pointed that out in a recent sermon. Came right after the Lord had said, take heed and beware of covetousness. I was recently thinking about that and thought about another good sermon. I think I've preached it here before on Bible bewares. Several times the Bible talks about beware. You've seen beware of the dog. There's a lot of bewares in the Bible. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he talks about what? What's the context of that? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What was that story about? Say it again, Bernice.
The rich fool.
He was thou fool. That's right. The ground of a certain rich man. Certain man brought forth plentifully. Remember that? Well, the fool also, Psalm 74:18. Blasphemes. It's a word we don't use today. As maybe other versions use something different, but it's a word that just simply means what? Yeah, to speak against. Speak evil of, speak against. Proverbs 15:20, the wise despise their mother.
The foolish.
Thank you, Rose. the foolish despise their mother. We've got a lot of fools today. People have no regard for their mother and their father. Proverbs 21:20, the foolish spend up. The foolish are unprepared, Matthew 25:1. I just recently talked about that. What was the context of Matthew 25:1 and following? As part of that three-lesson series that I dwelt on so much. Say it again. Yeah, the virgins, right? Be ye not therefore like unto the foolish virgins. Was that point that I made. O foolish Galatians, Galatians 3:1, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth? What does that word bewitched mean? The other versions don't render it bewitched. Who hath... Yeah, that's what it does. Who hath deceived you? Bewitched means to deceive. When I think about bewitched, what comes to your mind when you hear that word? Bewitched. Yeah, that's why I think it's sorcery. I think about things that were used to the intent to do what? Deceive people. That's what magicians try to do. They try to trick you into seeing something that's not really real. And so that's what I think about when I think about bewitched, that who hath deceived you that you should not obey the truth. Well, foolish people allow themselves. Don't forget that. They allow themselves to be deceived. Can't say the devil made me do it. But it's a choice they'll make. If it wasn't a choice, then why would the Lord give the admonition, the instruction, take heed that no man deceive you? Matthew 24. Well, that's the power, whether I'm bewitched, deceived, or not, is with me. Well, the foolish, Proverbs 10:18, hides hatred with lying lips and slanders. I think about the devil in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, deceitful. The devil is described as being what? Above all beasts of the field. Subtle. They're right in their own eyes, Proverbs 12:15. They despise father's correction. We talked about mothers earlier, but Proverbs 15:5 teaches us that the foolish despise their father's correction. Proverbs 18:2, they have no delight in understanding. Some people don't want to understand. They don't joy in understanding. Let me ask you this. What is your mentality, what's your attitude when you discover something true that you didn't know before? Maybe some little nugget of truth in the Bible that you didn't realize was there. I mean, you'd read the passage, you might have read the chapter over and over and over, but you hear somebody or you study again and you pick up on a truth that you didn't know. Or maybe you thought you were right about something and someone corrected you about it. And he's like, you know, I didn't realize that. Do we get mad and say, no, I'm right about that? Or do we say, I appreciate you pointing that out. I've been corrected plenty of times. Got something wrong, maybe missed the context about it. Maybe some typo, get the wrong reference, whatever the case may be. I appreciate that. Don't get mad about that. That's just opportunity for growth. The foolish, they meddle, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, which means to what? Put your nose in other people's business, where it just simply don't belong. It does cause division. And so don't meddle with strife that doesn't belong to us, right? Have no dog in it, don't put your dog in it. Proverbs 26:11. The foolish return to folly. It's a foolish thing to return, which infers what? Huh? Well, yeah, you can leave the folly and go right back to it. Or you can continue to go on and on to it. And a passage that I think it was when Peter wrote about those who had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Christ. He says, when they are again entangled therein and overtaken, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And so you can, it's a foolish thing to return to folly. Proverbs 28:26, the fool trusts in his own heart. Kind of like we just talked about, he's right in his own eyes. Proverbs 12, verse 20. But the foolish trusts in his own heart. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, as the wisest man outside the Lord himself that walked was who? Solomon. It is not Ecclesiastes chapter 3. No, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I think about this one. I think about trusting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So don't, it's a foolish thing to trust in your own ways, but the Bible admonishes us to trust in the Lord. Was the book of Proverbs penned during the law of Moses? If someone were to say, well, that was the law of Moses. What was it penned during the law of Moses? Solomon's the author. He put pen to paper by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Was it during the time of the law of Moses? That's right, it was. But why are these things applicable to life? Even though we're this side of the cross, is there any value, is there any merit in the book of Proverbs that was clearly penned during the law of Moses? Okay, why would it be?
It teaches how words are legal.
That's right. When you think of the whole purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes, or the book of Proverbs rather, Ecclesiastes similar, but the book of Proverbs, it's an entire book of general rules of life. And I don't care if you live 3,000, 4,000 years ago, or if you live now or 2,000 years from now, there's still some things that are common to all men. And that's what Proverbs is addressing. That's what Ecclesiastes is addressing. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You'll never obey. When I say you, I mean we. We will never obey the Lord if we don't trust him with all of our heart. We'll never see the need to obey the Lord and to walk before him and do what he says to do. And then he says, and lean not into thine own understanding. That's what we've talked about a couple of times in this point. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I've just got to say again, how does the Lord direct our paths? It's through his word. Don't expect a miracle to happen. Don't expect to say, well, you know, I've got choice A and I've got choice B. Lord, reveal unto me, lay it on my heart which one I'm to take. Don't work that way. Read the Bible. He already has given us instruction by which our way can be directed. We just got to know what God says. So let's say, Lord, which way would you have me to go? Anything wrong with asking that? Not a thing. Just go to what God has said about it already, and you'll have your answer. I'll have my answer. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. So the foolish trusts in his own heart. And then Proverbs 29:11. Someone read that for us. Our last point under the foolish. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Excuse me.
Fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back.
Yeah. The fool uttereth all his mind. Someone verbalize what that looks like today. Tell me how that looks like what that looks like today. You might hear somebody say what? I hear Christians say it from time to time.
You look at the denominational preachers, they're foolish. is what they're speaking, just foolishness.
That's right.
The trouble is, the people that's listening to them don't know no better.
I'm convinced a lot of people don't want to know any better. They got the same word, and that's not to impugn the motive of everybody. But the same thing that will lead us to the light will lead them to the light, if we'll study. But you've heard folks say, well don't just overlook me. I speak whatever's on my mind. I automatically think about passages like this. A fool does that. Can it be wrong to think something that is? Is it wrong to think something sinful?
Yes.
Well, don't compound it by speaking it. Now, someone says, well, you can't help what you think. Well, I agree to an extent, but here's the point about that. You might not can help the bird from flying over your head, but don't let him build a nest in it. Right? So don't dwell on things. Any thoughts about that? I had another thought I wanted to mention to you, but can't remember. He utters his mind, Proverbs 29, verse 11. But that's what the fool does. Oh, yeah, from the book of Proverbs chapter 29, this is a good book about contrast. It's beside the point, but we talked about earlier about the fool and the wise. Throughout this whole chapter, he uses the word in the vast majority of verses in this chapter, the word but, which sets a contrast. He'll talk about the wise and then but the wicked, or the righteous rather, but the wicked, verse 2. One that loves wisdom, but he that keepeth company and so forth. All the way through there, it makes a good contrast, a good study. Well, I don't want to be foolish. I don't want God to see and estimate me as foolish and say, thou fool. Like we talked about earlier with a farmer or a man who had ground that was plentifully. I want to be wise, do you? Notice what some wise or what the wise do. And see if this describes you. Proverbs 1:5, the wise will do what? The wise will hear. Not hear and believe everything they say, but the wise will hear what? Proverbs 1:5. Yeah, what does he say that
a wise man will hear and increase learning?
So what will he hear?
Good advice.
Yeah, he'll listen to truth. He's interested in truth. He will consider the ways of the ant, Proverbs 6:6. What's that little story about? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways.
Busy. Always busy.
Yeah, always busy doing what? Working. Yeah. Laying up the meat for the difficult time to come, the winter time to come. But always busy. No ruler over them. I think about that when he says having no ruler or God over them. A person that has initiative, self-motivated. We have to be that way. We're not always going to have somebody looking over our back and saying, do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. But the wise man will consider the ant and do what needs to be done. Hear instructions, Proverbs 8, then verse 33. Proverbs 9:8, the wise will love one that rebukes him. Proverbs 10:1. The wise will make his father glad. Remember we talked about earlier that the foolish will despise his father's correction. Proverbs 15:5. Proverbs 10:1 says that the wise will make his father glad. I like this. He that is wise winneth souls. Or he that winneth souls is wise, King James Version. Proverbs 11:30. You want to be a soul winner? Don't we sing a song from time to time, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus? Well, the wise one, win souls. Do some prospecting along the way. You know, folks that are in real estate have said that usually 2 to 3 hours of their day, usually in the morning time, is devoted to prospecting. That is, finding people who want to buy or sell. I think about this passage. How much time do we spend, and I think about self with this, not just you. How much time do we spend of our day, our week, our month, our year, prospecting? Trying to find those people who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness' sake. They want the truth. Proverbs 18:15, the wise seek knowledge. Proverbs 21:20, the wise make provision. Proverbs 28:7, the wise keep the law. Ecclesiastes 10:12, the wise have gracious words. We also sing a hymn. It's in this book, I believe. Oh, angry words, let them never what? I didn't hear.
From the tongue.
Yeah, from the tongue, bridled speak. Angry words. The righteous will have gracious words. The righteous are prepared. We've already talked about that in Matthew 25:1. And the righteous out of a good conversation shows his works. That is James 3 and in verse 13. What we say, what we do, the way we behave. So in 1 Corinthians 1:19-24, hopefully you have these filled out. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the
wise.
Say that again.
Wise.
Of the wise. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What does it mean to be prudent? What do you think of when you think about being prudent?
Proud?
Yeah, proud. Puffed up. Someone maybe thinks they know everything, can't tell them anything. God said, I'll destroy that type of earthly wisdom. And will bring to nothing the understanding, the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Again, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with being wise, but keep in mind the wisdom that he's talking about. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Are there not things that we need to know concerning things of this world? What? Yeah, well, sure there is. People go and get educated in all sorts of things so they can know things that help them get a job and work with their own two hands that they might have to give to those who need, meet their other obligations. But the wisdom that God is destroying, the wisdom of this world, have God destroyed is what? Brought to nothing. It's a wisdom of a world that thinks that they know better than God. That their wisdom is superior to the wisdom that God has demonstrated throughout the world.
Well, many people boast in their wisdom. But Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but his glory in understanding and know God.
Good passage. Thank you, Lord. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Earthly wisdom will not lead you to God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block. Why would it be a stumbling block unto the Jews? Maybe several reasons, but why did Jesus not fulfill their expectation? Well, they had a skewed notion of what the kingdom was going to be and what the king was going to be. And surely he would come and have a, and with military might, deliver them from their oppressors. But no, the kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, and Jesus was meek and lowly, riding upon an ass, the Bible says, into the city of Jerusalem. And unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I want the wisdom that God would have to have. I want to be wise according to what God says to be wise. I don't care about what man, if man thinks it's wisdom or foolish, I want to be wise in the sight of God. And we can be if we'll do what God says to do. Our time's come and gone. We'll stop there. Any thoughts or questions about what we've talked about? We'll pick up and try to finish this point next week. I appreciate your good comments and your reading and you being here and your attention.